This is Proclaiming Christ, episode 36, and we're very happy to introduce today a new format for Proclaiming Christ. And those of you who were fans of Proclaiming Christ when it was being regularly produced, probably about a year and a half ago, might be happy to know that we're back, and we're really excited about some format changes that we have, as well as plans for regularly producing the podcast. As you might remember, Proclaiming Christ's purpose is to try to encourage and discuss and provide resources for preachers and students of the Bible, and taking the text of Scripture itself and opening it up and seeing how it might be preached, investigated, and communicated to God's people. And we're particularly excited to have headlining in neon lights here our local celebrity extraordinaire theologian, a new panelist, unknown to most of you, I'm sure, but bears the distinctive honor of, I believe, being the vice president of the Reform Forum, the Reverend Dr. Jim Cassidy. Welcome to Proclaiming Christ.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mark Jenkins. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I read the wrong name.
Yeah, wow, what an introduction. It's good to be here, Mark. I am super excited about the relaunch of this great program.
So good to have you with us. Jim is doing his role on Proclaiming Christ will be the heresy hunter. So as we speak and misspeak, Jim will be right there to jump in and inform us that we've got it all wrong. But Jim, I'm really thankful that you're willing to be a part of Proclaiming Christ. It's been, I think, an encouraging podcast to many, and to have you on will be exciting. And if you're new to Proclaiming Christ, if you haven't listened for some time, or if this may be your first time listening, we do encourage you to go back and listen to some of our first podcasts. I think this is number 36, but at the beginning we had a few podcasts on introductions and foundations, presuppos preaching, preparing to preach, that gives you a sense of our perspective. And on that, way back then, in that initial podcast, the panelists, I believe, were Adam York at the time, Chad Bond, and Matt Cotta, and me. We were the panelists. And since then, we've had some folks come on board as others have rotated off. I just mentioned Jim Cassidy to you. And what I'd like to do today, since we didn't have an opportunity to do this when they came on, is just ask each of the panelists to just say a few words about their ministry, what they do, and perhaps how they came to the Reformed faith. Jim, could we start with you? Tell us a little bit about your ministry and how you came to where you are today.
Thank you. I was ordained back in 2002. My wife and I were just thinking this over when we were going through the process of having our budget approved in our church, and our deacon got up and said our pastor is going into the 16th year of ministry, and even I looked at each other like, you know, no, it can't possibly be. But so I was ordained into the ministry in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church 2002 in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Mark, I believe that was around the time that you and I met, probably through some sort of an online discussion board, if I recall correctly, and ended up forging a friendship over the years from that time, and then took a call in Ringo's, New Jersey, was there for about 7 years, and then took the call to plant the church here in South Austin, in Austin, Texas, thanks to another good friend of mine, Glenn Clary, who is the pastor at Providence OPC in Pflugerville, Texas, who was the mother church of our congregation, our church plant here on the south side of Austin. So so that's God's providence as it unfolded over the years, and has brought me to this point where I've been pastoring. I planted the church here in South Austin, and then was called subsequently as, I was called initially as an associate pastor of Pflugerville, and then called as the pastor when we particularized back a couple of years ago. So that's God's providence that has brought me to this point.
Fantastic. And Jim, you went to Westminster in Philadelphia. You did your MDiv there, right?
Yeah. So I was converted to Christ back in college, and that was in Manchester, New Hampshire, where I came in contact with a number of good Reformed folk. But Greg Reynolds, who serves our congregation in Manchester, was the first OP man I came in contact with after my conversion. And he was the one who gave me my first copy of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And that was kind of my introduction to the Reformed faith and Reformed doctrine. And from there, I moved back after graduation to New Jersey, and I took up a job and was close to Westminster Seminary. And I entered into seminary as a part-time MDiv student in 1997. And I took the five-year program at Westminster for finishing the MDiv. And that means I took a lot more time than what I wanted to, but nevertheless, it was good. And then went into the pastoral ministry there.
And also did a PhD at Westminster.
Yeah. So when I moved back to Ringo's after some time in Johnstown, I was there for 4.5 years. I was pretty close proximity to Westminster, and I wanted to refine my theological skills, and so I entered into the THM program there in about, I believe it was September of 2007, and just had a blast, just had a great time sitting in some of these classes. My first class was with Dr. Oliphant on the Doctrine of God, and just, you know, the whole experience just blew my mind. And that's when I decided I was going to study Karl Barth, because Barth came up in the context of talking about the Doctrine of God a number of times. And I thought, yeah, this is going to be, a fruitful area of study and research. So as I had gone on from there, things went well. I was encouraged to go ahead and apply for the PhD program. And I entered the PhD program around 2009 and graduated from that program finally in 2014.
And we reap the benefits of that here at Proclaiming Christ. Jim is also the author of God's Time for Us, Barth's Reconciliation of Eternity and Time in Jesus Christ. You can find that on various websites. Amazon.com, I'm sure, has that. I got a copy of that recently, but it was also the beginning of hockey season, so Jim's book will have to wait. Jim, is that fair to say that
hockey
that is a—
Hockey or Barth?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it was
that's a no-brainer.
Jim, is it fair to say that's a distillation of your dissertation?
Yeah. So the long and short of it is what I try to do is to give some sort of a programmatic overview of Barth's church dogmatics, and I'm focusing on the church dogmatics exclusively, and trying to show basically his, some might call it his Christomonism, the idea that Christ is basically everything, which is not too far from the truth for Barth, but the way in which his Christology informs every loci or loci, depending on how you like to pronounce your Latin, and how it informs all of the various loci of systematic theology. And so I take it through his Christology with regard to revelation, with regard to the doctrine of election, with regard to the doctrine of creation, and then reconciliation. So it's kind of a broad, sweeping overview of his thought as it unfolds in the church dogmatics.
Well, wonderful. And I'm looking forward to getting into that myself. And I spent quite a bit of time on Jim because brand new to at least our podcast. Jim, we're so thankful here with us, and he'll be recording with us. And we also had, as Matt Cotta and Chad Bond had rotated off some time ago, we were able to introduce to our listeners Mark Jenkins and Robert Arendelle. And Mark is up in Wisconsin, and we've heard from Mark in podcasts before, but I don't know that we ever properly introduced him. Mark, could you tell us a bit about your ministry?
Sure. I don't know that there's a lot to tell. It's not as spacey as Jim Cassidy.
No one's is.
I know it. I don't know how in the world one gets a PhD while doing ministry. I think we should have a whole podcast on Jim and you, Mark, as well, giving us some pointers on that. Yeah. So that's just incredible. It's pretty boring, really. My life, to quote Dr. Evil, the details of my life are quite inconsequential. So what to say? I came into the Reformed faith right after high school. Really had a lot of great influences in my life, youth group leaders and whatnot. Was discipled by an RUF pastor. Read like so many R.C. Sproul's Chosen by God. Went to Covenant College and eventually Westminster Seminary, California. ended up in the OPC and the Presbytery of the Midwest because of an internship. I had the great privilege of interning under Lyndall Smith at Bethel and Wheaton. And that's how by some miraculous providence, I ended up in a state that I never even imagined I would visit. So I've been living here in Wisconsin, which is great. It's fantastic. It just was not even anywhere on my radar. I've been up in Wisconsin now, pastoring since 2005. And like Shem said, when you're shocked when you think back on how many years you've been in the ministry, that's certainly the case with when I say 2005, I instantly think, man, I need to get something done. It just has flown by, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm excited to participate in this podcast because it helps me really interact with you guys and think about preaching to be really intentional. I don't have a lot to or anything really to contribute of myself. So it's just a real privilege for me to participate because it helps engage me and effort that it takes to try to contribute something is a lot of fun, and it's beneficial to me. So my plan sort of on the podcast in many ways is going to be the guy that's trying to ask the good questions, but they're real questions that I have. And then hopefully all you guys can answer them.
Well, I will say one of the advantages of Proclaiming Christ is that though the five of us, there are five panelists now, which we think will also add some flavor into the mix of what we're doing here. But one of the advantages of it is even though we all come from the same, even fairly close tradition of Reformed theology and our commitment to a particular biblical model we think of preaching is also the fact that we won't agree on everything that we say, and we will have occasionally some hopefully helpful and lively discussions. And I'll pick this opportunity already to disagree with Jenkins in that you don't add anything particularly. You really do. And one of the things about Proclaiming Christ that I've enjoyed is when Matt Cotta had to step away for busyness in his ministry and Chad Bond the same way, as Adam and I looked at each other and thought, it's a shame. We're just never going to replace them. We've found at least that Mark, when you came on, and Robert, when you came on, that it just enriched the podcast considerably. Really thankful for your contributions. And listeners, if you...
Wait, so to be clear, I'm a better panelist than Matt Cotta, establishing... Is that what we're trying to do here?
I'll leave that to Adam. Adam, what do you think?
I just want to be clear about that because he's like, you know, one of the five people that might occasionally listen to the podcast. So we just want to make sure we get that out there.
I'm going to let you and Matt duke it out.
Yeah, we'll let you guys handle that question. We'll have Matt on for a special podcast.
Now, he's a jiu-jitsu specialist, so you might have some problems with that.
Serious issues.
But also thankful to have Robert Arendale with us. And speaking of programs being enriched, Robert, you've sure added a lot to what we're doing here. And tell the folks a bit about your own ministry.
Sure, brothers. It's a joy and privilege to be with you. I thoroughly enjoyed the time we had, I guess it was a year or so ago, when we were working through Genesis, and am thankful to be back. A couple thoughts. Like Jenkins said, my life isn't all that exciting, but by God's grace, I was born as a covenant child into a covenant family. My dad was an elder at several different PCA churches in Nashville, Tennessee, and then went to Baylor University, where I met my wife. And anyway, I went to Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, so I might be the only non-Westminster individual here. So I'll represent RTS Charlotte.
It was How much wonderful... RTS, Robert?
That's right. I knew that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. So you and I will
there you go.
Be the RTS reps.
We'll have to stand together against these others.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But our 3 years in Charlotte was absolutely, in seminary in Charlotte was a fantastic time. Great professors. Digging into God's Word. And then after seminary, and God's providence, the church where I was interning needed an associate pastor, and one thing led to another, and I had the privilege of being called there. And so I was ordained in the ARP, So I was in the ARP for 4 years as an associate at Ballantyne Presbyterian Church, and those 4 years were wonderfully impactful in my life. It was a church that had close ties to the seminary. Several professors were there. It was just a rich 4 years of learning. It was one of those churches where I could walk in and ask this professor, that professor, you know, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? And just really grow and refine in preparation for where the Lord would take us next. And so after 4 years in Charlotte, as an associate there at Ballantyne, the Lord, in his mysterious providence, called us to Houston, Texas, to plant Cornerstone OPC. And it was quite a story of how we got here. And actually, one of our other panelists that everyone knows well, Adam York, was a key player in that. And Adam and I became very good friends and had several phone calls as the Lord was guiding my family from Charlotte to Houston. So it was almost 6 years ago, I guess 5.5 years ago or so, that the Lord brought us from Charlotte to Houston to be the planter, the organizing pastor of Cornerstone OPC. Now, as I said, my family's been here about 5.5 years, and the Lord has blessed by his grace the ministry, thankful to be here, just an ordinary pastor, just preaching and teaching and counseling and seeking to shepherd and pointing people to the great shepherd, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord's doing great things in his local church, and we're very thankful to be here, thankful for what he's doing, and thankful to be participating on this podcast.
Well, Robert, if I remember correctly, aren't you and the congregation there, Cornerstone, aren't you in the midst of a building program?
We are, yes. We several months ago, we did close on a property. It's an existing building. It was a Baptist church that had to move to a different location. And one thing led to another, and we were able to close on that contract. And now we're in the midst of renovation, trying to raise some funds to renovate the property, to update it, kind of bring it up to speed, so to speak. And so, Lord willing, the move-in date keeps getting pushed back, as always happens when you're dealing with property and buildings and whatnot. But late March would be a wonderful time to be in there. So that's what we're planning on, Lord willing.
Well, wonderful. We talked about trying to do a doctoral program while you're ministering, but doing a building program while you're ministering may be just as challenging, as well as doing a podcast.
Well, if I can interject, Robert, you still have academic pursuits of your own going on, don't you?
I do. Yes. I'm slowly, very slowly emphasizing that, chipping away at a THM out of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary up in Grand Rapids, where Dr. Joel Beakey is the president. So slowly chipping away at that. Hopefully later this spring or summer, I'll be able to knock out another class for that. But it's a work in progress.
Good.
Well, that's our three of the panelists that hadn't been introduced, I think, properly in the past. And of course, Adam, pastor over in Kingwood, Texas, and I'm very excited to be together doing this podcast once again.
Yeah, after all that, I feel like saying, like another gentleman did years ago, who am I? Why am I here?
I remember that. Colonel something or other it was.
Admiral Stockdale, I think it was.
That's Admiral Stockdale, that's right. I demoted him, but and switched branches of the service too, I think. Ross Perot's running mate way back when. Yeah, I remember that. But you're right. I'm glad we don't have to introduce ourselves.
Well, for people who are around from a year and a half ago who may remember us. If not, hey, there's plenty of episodes you can go back and hear the details on Mark and myself. And speaking of that, by the way, we can still say a few words. We didn't say as much as we thought we might, or as Jim, we had discussions with you about maybe some preaching philosophies and how we might be pursuing that in the course of our discussion about preaching. But I'll open the floor to that. But if you also want to hear our thoughts from quite a few years ago, and I'm almost certain that they'll be on the same trajectory, you can go back to episode one, Mark, I think, mm-hmm. from a few years ago. And I would encourage listeners to actually go back and do that. Mark and I were there hammering out our thoughts, and then Matt Cotta and Chad Bond, and I'm pretty sure, again, all these men would be in full agreement with that. But having said that, maybe we can say a few words about what it is we'll be trying to do as we reboot Proclaiming Christ. Say a few words about those controlling presuppositions briefly, but then the format changes, because there are going to be some significant format changes.
Right, and those we're particularly excited about. And one of the things that we're going to do that I think will enrich the program considerably is, as you probably know if you listened to the program in the past, we were working through the book of Genesis, and what we're going to do now is change that up just a little bit. And each of the five panelists that we have, so that would be Adam and Jenkins and Jim Cassidy, Robert Arendale, and me, will each be going through a book. And as each podcast will feature the book that we are going through, and they'll be done on a rotating basis. So, Lord willing, our goal is to have a new podcast up just about every week. And so every month you should have a new episode on that particular book that each contributor is going to be taking the audience through when it's their turn to open up the book that they're in. And each of the persons that will be contributing for each program will have preached through that book, have done exegetical work in that book. And so you won't be getting sort of off-the-cuff comments about whether he's had to work through the entire book and preach it. And we think that will add some variety to the program. It will enrich, I think, the listener experience to the program and provide opportunities for further interaction as well. And with that in mind, I thought we could perhaps go down the list here and ask each of the panelists today to say a brief word about what book they plan on taking the audience through, what led them to that decision, and what they hope to accomplish by it. And Adam, could we start with you?
This is an interesting one, because as you and I talked about this, Mark, the idea actually occurred to both of us to talk about the same book, and I don't think that will be a disappointment. I hope it won't be a disappointment to people, but I thought for two reasons. Number one, we a few years ago started a discussion on Genesis that we did not finish, and during that time, I started preaching through Genesis, and now I'm further along, and I'm still in Genesis. That I would like to go back and talk about Genesis, not from the very beginning. We're not going to pick up from Genesis 1. I believe we're going to try and pick up right where we left off around Genesis 12 and continue talking through the book of Genesis. And I believe you're going to follow alongside, and we can each take turns discussing different passages, if that's right.
That's right. We didn't want to leave our listeners in a lurch. We wanted to continue on in the book of Genesis and not cut it off at chapter 12. So Adam and I plan to do a little tag team podcasting here. He'll take a chapter and I'll take a chapter and so on, and we'll continue through the book of Genesis together. And I'm particularly excited about that, because Genesis is a book about foundations, and the principles and doctrines are played out in the rest of Scripture. So in a very real sense, it's a foundational book for a lot of what we'll be doing and throughout the rest of the podcast. Jenkins, what did you have in mind?
Well, I'm not actually, this is going to contradict you maybe slightly. I'm not going to plan on going through a book, at least not it's sort of in an exact lectio continuo manner, but instead I'm just going to be talking about passages that I've recently preached. So that's going to put us for a little while now in the second half of Ephesians, not because I think we were joking earlier offline, not because I thought it wise to skip the first half, but I just happen to be in the second half of Ephesians right now. And so I want to talk about passages that are fresh on my mind, perhaps that I've just preached on, or even that I'm about to preach on. And my goal is to try to bring up the certain difficulties, certain questions that we wrestle with as pastors. I'm not going to pretend. I'll try to give as you know, if I glean some what I think are some helpful nuggets and whatnot, then I'll certainly be sharing those. But I would like for my contribution to be an exercise in trying to work through perhaps some of the thornier issues. And so in the second half of Ephesians, a lot of that is not going to be exegetical per se, or even homiletical, just in the sense of delivery and organization of material, but in terms of how to make these commands, these exhortations that Paul gives that are currently so controversial in our culture, so often misunderstood. And because of that, there's a great need for us to be persuasive, to proclaim the word of God in all its truth, but to also do it in a way that is wise, that fills out the presuppositions that are needed to properly grasp it. As our culture moves further and further away from just any sort of view of the world that corresponds to the word of God, we become less able to just throw out a command, throw out a biblical statement or doctrine without a lot of background, because you throw it out and people are hearing it in a way that could be greatly a great misunderstanding of the biblical truth. So that's all to say, I think context, theological context, that the biblical context, the biblical reason and rationale behind a lot of the commands in the second half of Ephesians will be really necessary and a great challenge for us to try to think through. How do we persuade people regarding what God calls us to here? That's my hope anyway.
Well, that sounds enticing. I'm really looking forward to that. One of the beauties, I hope, of this approach is the variety that we'll find. And just about every month then, Lord willing, we'll have a new podcast dealing with that. If I could ask a question, Mark, I've thought about this and never actually done this years ago. I preached through Ephesians and I didn't do it this way, but most of our listeners will probably know or at least be familiar with the idea that generally Ephesians can break down into two sections, chapters 1-3, we might refer to as the indicative, the teaching, the doctrine. Chapters 4-6, we might refer to as the imperative, what to do with that doctrine. I wonder if there's any correspondence, or maybe I could ask the question this way. Is it possible to preach through the book of Ephesians by sort of matching up the indicatives in the first three with the imperatives in the second three? Are they done in perhaps a parallel way?
Yeah, well, definitely as you're preaching through the second half, you're referring to the first half. It's not so much in terms of specific commands matching up with specific indicatives in the first half, you know, not in sort of a one-to-one type manner, but actually when you read the book of Ephesians, and if you go back and read it and pay attention to this, you'll see it very clearly. Paul doesn't really give us an option in this regard. He doesn't allow us to read the second half in a way that's disconnected from the first half, because in the second half, he's actually continuing to remind us of the principles, the indicative in Christ principles, gospel principles that he laid out so richly and beautifully in the first half of the book. So it's studying the book of Ephesians with an eye to preaching, actually, or an eye to picking up a basic Christian ethic, very much teaches us that all of our pursuit of obedience, every bit of it, has to be grounded in the gospel and in what Christ has done for us. And we can't properly understand an approach towards obedience that is in any way disconnected. So it is often stated that the first half of the book of Ephesians is indicative or gospel, and the second half is imperative, is law. But in some sense, that's true, but we have to qualify it. It's really only true because the first half of the book doesn't actually contain any command. It's so purely indicative. And the second half of the book does contain commands, but it doesn't purely contain commands. It also contains a lot of indicative. So the contrast is, it has to be carefully understood there. And but I think you're right that when we preach the second half, because Paul requires this, really, we've got to be reminding ourselves and pointing back to what it's all grounded in. If that gets at your question a little bit.
Yeah, it sure does. And I really appreciate that. That's extremely helpful. And I think tantalizing for those for listeners, we are really looking forward to you unpacking some of that for us and looking forward to interacting with that.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it as well. Like I said, a lot of it will be questions. How do we, I want to get the panel input on how we explain the Christian sexual ethic, which is so different. How can we be convincing about the roles in the home, the different roles that God assigns in the home and those sorts of things? So, yeah, we'll look forward to seeing how that goes.
It'd be very valuable, I think, for everyone. Jim Cassidy, what is it that you plan on taking us through?
Well, I've been debating back and forth in my mind as to whether or not I would do Revelation or Hosea. And I think I'm going to end up settling in on Hosea. Part of the reason why is I preached through it in the evening service here, an extremely helpful kind of exercise doing biblical theology and preaching. So one of the early books that really influenced me, I know it's influenced us all, is Edmund Clowney's book on preaching and biblical theology. That has kind of remained a core textbook in my mind when I've approached the pulpit, trying to be faithful to the rich theology that is there in Scripture so as to interpret any passage of Scripture within the broader scope of the theology of the Bible as a whole. Particularly as it's understood in its unfolding redemptive historical perspective, as, you know, for instance, as Voss has taught us to do, I think so well, so adequately, not just Voss, of course, but Ritter-Voss, Meredith Klein, Dr. Gaffin, etc. Love the book of Hosea because it's a challenge to preach through there in a biblical theological way. And I hope to be able to bring out some of those kind of biblical theological principles relative to preaching as we go through it in the podcast. One of the interesting things about Hosea is that Hosea is referred to only on several occasions in the New Testament. There's, of course, you know, the famous or perhaps infamous Hosea 11:1 found in Matthew 2, and how do we deal with that? And that's just, you can't, I found that you can't really deal with Hosea 11:1 relative to Matthew chapter 2 in a good biblical theological faithful way until you understand the book of Hosea as a whole in that biblical theological way. And once you do, then dealing with Hosea 11:1 and some of the other kind of quirky uses, we would say, we look at it from our perspective and call it quirky, quirky uses of Hosea in the New Testament, until we really understand the biblical theological nature of Hosea as a whole. For instance, how does a preacher deal with the long sections in Hosea of judgment, where it's just, you know, judgment after, you know, pronouncement of judgment after pronouncement of judgment? How do you edify the people of God and build them up and encourage them in the gospel? Just bad news after bad news after bad news. And you're having to preach for, you know, 4 weeks or more judgment passages. I think that's just an example of one way in which Hosea challenges us to preach faithfully in a biblical theological way. So what I hope to do in the rest of the podcast is to be able to try to bring those two things together, preaching and biblical theology, bear upon the text of Hosea, and be able to show how Christ is, in fact, the sum and the substance of Hosea's prophecy, and therefore ought to be the sum and the substance, the heart and the core, the meta-narrative, if you will, or sermons on the book of Hosea and from Hosea. And not just Hosea, hopefully it'll become somewhat of a template that we can, our listeners can grab hold of and then take with them as they prepare sermons on the other in the Old Testament. And of course, not just that, but any book of the, hopefully it'll help in terms of tackling any book of the Bible, but particularly preaching the Old Testament prophets. one last thing, and then I'll turn it over to you, Mark, for what you're going to, you know, I just mentioned Voss here, and if I could just, I know, Mark, you probably would be embarrassed for me to say this, but Mark, you just finished your dissertation on the theology of, or Voss's sermons, a survey of how Voss approaches preaching, particularly from his book of sermons on Grace and Glory, entitled Grace and Glory. So maybe a good segue, Mark, would be for me to kind of mention that. Would you be willing to just talk briefly about your dissertation and how it impacts your, and how it has impacted your approach to preaching, or the things that you've studied there impact the way in which you preach, and then go ahead and tell us what you're going to talk about on the show.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Jim would be happy to, and thanks for mentioning that, because I it was for me a very helpful study. Now, before I talk about that real quick, let me just also tell the listening audience that Christ the Center recently, Jim, you went on Christ the Center and had an episode on the book of Hosea. And I wonder if for our listeners, that might be a great way for them to be introduced to the book as they'll begin listening to you go through that book. I found that episode to be very, very well done. Really appreciated your perspective on it.
That was a fun episode.
It sounded like it. Yeah, my doctor of ministry dissertation I did at Union University in Jackson, Mississippi, which is a Southern Baptist institution. And I did it there intentionally because I minister in the middle of a Southern Baptist community and need to know and wanted to learn how can I communicate biblical theological concepts to a predominantly Baptist or former Baptist audience. So I'm not just speaking Reformed speak that they're not familiar with, but how can I incorporate those concepts and communicate to people who may be completely unfamiliar with them. And so my dissertation was entitled Application with No Limits. And it's a phrase that Voss actually uses in one of his sermons, Application Without Limits. And you probably will know of some of the controversy and discussion that surrounds the idea of biblical theology and application. And some have made the claim that Voss's sermons aren't really sermons at all because they don't have application. And what I wanted to do was take, and I think that's unfair to a number of reasons that we can't get into today, but what I wanted to do in the dissertation is take a survey of some of the modern discussion on the topic, not all of it, and then look at a biography of Voss, and then take a look at his hermeneutical method, just the high points of his theology, which I followed a threefold trajectory. I looked at union with Christ, the concept of covenant, not the details of covenant theology, but simply the concept of covenant in his writings, and then, of course, eschatology, and try to trace those through his theology just a bit, and particularly in his Pauline eschatology. But then in his 16 sermons, because here's a guy that we only have 16 sermons from this guy, and yet he fundamentally shaped a school of preaching. And I wanted to see where these three themes come out in his sermons, but then particularly see how each of these themes, union with Christ, covenant, and eschatology, result in a thoroughgoing application to the whole man. So not application that's limited by particular circumstances, and also how does Voss use example in the Bible? And then how do you apply that in the modern context today? Of course, Voss was preaching to early 20th century Princeton Theological Seminary students, so naturally we wouldn't just repeat his sermons in the pulpit today. How does that translate, or how do we incorporate that into the modern pulpit context? And so that's what I tried to do, and I found it helpful in learning some ways of communicating these theological concepts to an audience that may be completely unfamiliar with them.
Mark, would you be able to then bring us to the point of your book that you're going to be talking about, and then maybe bring in some of the talk just briefly about the way you're going to go ahead and tackle that book, and then I'll let you pass it on from here to Robert.
Sure. As I mentioned just a bit earlier, Adam and I are going to tag team going through the book of Genesis. So we're going to pick up where we left off, which I think was about the midway through chapter 12. If you go back and listen to Genesis 3:15 in our podcasts, you'll see a picture of the kind of biblical theology that we'll employ going through that book. Robert, would you share with us what book will you be taking us through?
I, like you, like all you brothers, was kind of think about what to work through. And recently finished a fairly lengthy series preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. And so I think I'm going to walk us, you know, by God's grace and with, you know, helpful thoughts from you brothers through the book of 1 Corinthians. A couple reasons that I preached through 1 Corinthians in the first place. One is because I'd never done it, and it seems to be one of the Apostle Paul's foundational epistles, foundational letters. And two things that I was struck with as I was working through the book, and these aren't, you know, rocket science, these aren't earth-shattering. One is how challenging it was. I mean, it was a challenging book. I'm sure if any of you brothers or any of our listeners have preached through it, they probably would agree with that. But it seems almost as if each week the passage that I was wrestling with was difficult. It was a challenging passage. It challenged me in my thinking, my understanding of God's word. So first, it was difficult, but secondly, in light of that, it was fruitful, and Lord willing, it was an encouragement to our people. It was edifying to the people of God. And so that's what I'm looking forward to working through. And I'm really looking forward to hearing you brothers' thoughts on that, you know, hearing your ideas, you know, bouncing ideas on this is how I handled this passage, and then hear how, you know, you brothers, your take on it. I feel like it's a book that I want to kind of travel with through, you know, throughout the rest of my ministry time, come back to it again and again, and hopefully grow in my understanding of it. And one last thought before we, perhaps begin to wrap up, it seems to me to be, and I'm hesitant to use this word, but a book that is particularly relevant, you know, to the church today. And that is because one of the issues that seems to come up again and again, if not the dominant issue that comes up again and again in 1 Corinthians, is the creeping influence of the world into the church. You know, and as we walk through the book, you know, we'll see that chapters 1 and 2 are foundational. Those are critical. Those are theological or theologically foundational for ministry, for understanding the book of 1 Corinthians. And then Paul deals with, you know, chapter after chapter after chapter, and issue after issue after issue of problems. You know, this problem and that problem. The problems seem somewhat scattered, somewhat random, but each one is the influence of the world and the world's ways and values and priorities, how the world lives, how the world views things, from sexual ethics to lawsuits to what it means to be a prominent person in society. And Paul is going to challenge each of those areas of worldly thinking with the gospel. And I think we face that today in the church, the creeping influence of the world. And we can challenge that with the gospel and with the wisdom of the cross, as Paul says there in chapters 1 and 2. The word of the cross, the wisdom of Christ crucified and risen, and how that shapes and informs his ministry and deals with all the various minutiae and nuts and bolts and problems in the local church, which, you know, many of us deal with as well. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to hearing you brothers' thoughts and bouncing ideas off one another. So that's what I'll be working through.
Sounds like we have a wonderful variety then in store for our listeners. We've got Genesis, an historical book, Hosea, a prophetic book, and then a couple books that will touch on not only those things which we must know, but those things which we must do. And Robert, particularly excited about 1 Corinthians, a book that really capitalizes on a misunderstanding of the Old Testament on the part of the Corinthian church, and a part of misunderstanding of their place as the church and what they are as the church. Well, thank you very much for listening to this reintroduction to Proclaiming Christ. We hope that you are as excited as we are about the change in format, about the different books that we'll be going through, about adding to our panel. And we're really looking forward to sharing these things with you. And Lord willing, our plan is to have these things up now on a regular basis, nearly every week, if not every single week. We appreciate you listening to us, and we also appreciate your feedback. There is a comments section on each of the podcasts, and so leave your comments if you're able to do that, and we'll see you next week.